Views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Alrighty, welcome back. Welcome back to the Drive Time. Now it's time for you and I to consider this with Rob Washburn and myself. And joining us in the studio this afternoon are two representatives of the Coburg Taxpayers Association. We're going to get right to the conversation after this, but first, here is The Box and Ordinary People on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. In the USA,
happiness. We have ordinary problems and ordinary fears. We go take care of our business. Life goes on, and nothing changes. We don't understand much about those big shot politicians. Who's got most of them firecrackers to blow up in their faces? I bet my shirt that way back there in the USSR. Things like you and me, but the night goes on. I'm sure as hell he's just as sweet as us. There's got to be some Russian sting who sings about us people and our strongest will to live in peace. And the light goes on and nothing changes. We'll be right back.
All righty, welcome back. That was The Box and Ordinary People. And joining us in the studio are just a couple of ordinary people, Lydia Smith, president of the Cobourg Taxpayers Association, and Brian Lambert. He is also a director with the Cobourg Taxpayers Association. Welcome to the studio, you guys. And, of course, always, it's Wednesday, so we ask you to consider this. And joining us is our community producer, Rob Washburn. Rob, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thanks, Dave.
Today, we are going to be talking about Venture 13 here in Cobourg. And I just want to read this media release, if I can, before we get into it. This is dated May 29th from the Cobourg Taxpayers Association. Council and staff need to, quote, get back to basics, end quote. Cobourg Council needs to get back to basics and should not take further action right now on the Venture 13 Business Incubator Project at this time, says Cobourg Taxpayers Association. CTA President Lydia Smith told council in an email today that although some projects with the town are handled well, police, fire, town roads, grass cutting, and other similar projects, the CTA has no confidence with respect to many of the others. Town staff do not appear to have a strong foundation in getting things done effectively. There seems to be a lack of systems, checks and balances, as well as accountability. Let's get our house in order before building yet another addition, said Smith. She listed a number of examples where Cobourg Council and staff need to just get back to basics. Councillors are still not using financials as a tool to identify whether budget items are on track. The CCC is currently operating an annual loss of more than $1.2 million. The marina operation and Victoria Park campground have not been optimized. Council's video recording launch date was missed. The town's website is still not fully functional and or easy to use. The HMCS Goose Bay was not able to come into the harbor last year. This year, no problem, though. The CTA's lack of confidence in the waterfront review process, which was conveyed to Councillor Darling a couple of weeks ago, and not having the pulse of the general public and instead moving ahead with ill-advised ideas not supported by the community, such as the proposed marina expansion, the park theater purchase, and the illegal waiver of development charges for private sector medical arts clinics. Let's improve the effectiveness of our current staff and systems before initiating additional projects, signed Lydia Smith. Now, on that one issue, and the very last thing here, the not having the general public, the pulse of the general public on ill-advised projects not supported by the project. So the marina expansion, done, off the table. The park theater is not on the table anymore. I don't know about the illegal waiver of development charges for a private
sector. That's gone too.
So these three, all these things mentioned at the very end are no longer even an issue. So it does beg the question, why include it?
Well, it's not really certain that it's dead. The waterfront expansion, the marina expansion, is in the listing for the waterfront consultants.
Yeah, but they're holding public consultancies. I mean, one of the other things you talked about here was sort of, if I can say it here, council's not getting the pulse of the general public, and part of the same thing. I mean, they're holding really expansive and extensive public consultations. I mean,
to answer your question about why we included it, as examples of showing that the town is not in touch. You know, why should people have to? If council is listening to people, you shouldn't have to have a group getting together and protesting, as happened with Preserve Our Heritage Harbor. You shouldn't have to have people doing delegations and complaining and writing letters about the park theater. And the council's hand was really forced with respect to the development fees for the NMAI. So it's just showing examples that they're not in touch.
Yeah, but based on those examples and the fact that they've pulled those things off the table, they've rescinded them, they've decided not to go with the, I mean, are they not listening to the public's protest at that point? I mean, is that not showing that they are in fact listening to what the people are saying by the mere fact that they have decided to pull back on those, and they are now having an extremely extensive public consultation when it comes to the entire waterfront, not just the marina, not just the campground, but the entirety of the area?
Okay, but the marina expansion, they backed off that kicking and screaming.
Well, staff, okay. The staff were kicking and screaming. I don't know about council, but I know the staff.
My recollection sitting there was that Mayor Brockenier was less than pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
the NMAI, the whole issue there was that going forward with that and granting the waiver was contrary to the Municipal Act. They were voting to commit an illegal act.
Until they were stopped.
until they got legal counsel or somebody smartened them up, and at the council meeting, they rescinded their prior vote at the Committee of the Whole.
And can I add, you've said a couple of times that they're having this extensive waterfront process. First of all, they're spending $150,000 for consultants to study about 12 studies that were done. So they're studying studies that were done between within the last 5 to 10 years. I don't have confidence in the way that the process is being handled. Really simple examples. The notices to let people know, one of them went into the Northumberland Today, which only has a circulation of 350 people, as opposed to Northumberland News, which has a circulation of 8,500 people. That has been corrected. They are supposed to have accessibility, so printed studies available at the library. I was there last week. I asked downstairs. They didn't have any. I went upstairs. They had one left. I happened to be at the library the next day, and I wanted to pick one up for an elderly friend over in her 90s with a walker. They had no printed surveys available either downstairs or upstairs. Mm-hmm. So it's an accessibility issue. You know, a lot of people don't use computers. They're not doing online surveys, especially given that the population of Cobourg, out of 19,400 people now, I think, according to the latest census, seniors account for about 31%.
So a third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically a third, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rob, go ahead. Well, it seems to me I've opened the cage. Let's get it going.
All right. We came here tonight to talk about the Venture 13, and for anybody that's not familiar with this, the Venture 13 is a proposal that's gone before council to create a business incubator. And first of all, could you tell us what it is exactly that you're for or against it as it pertains to this proposal?
As Lydia said, it's not a for or against. It's a defer, a wait until you get your act together.
How does that make a difference, though? What difference does it make if it's done now or in 6 months from now or a year from now? Why is timing so critical?
I don't think it's that timing. It's not really about timing being critical for me. Okay. What it's about more is about trends. You know, some people think that we kind of look and pick at every single little thing that they do. That really is not my intention. But what I'm seeing is a trend that the way I perceive Venture 13 is that they are spending a lot of time planning a beautiful new addition. So they're getting into all the details about how they're going to do it, etc. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, the House of Cobourg has a roof that is leaking and letting wet in. So why wouldn't you fix that first before you distract yourself with new activities, number one? Number two, I don't think council has the tools to be able to make a good decision. And I say that because we're almost 6 months into the year, and they still do not have budget numbers for the first quarter. So councillors do not know whether we're over budget or under budget. How can they make an effective decision about a new project that's going to be $1.6 million when they don't know where we're at right now?
But isn't it not unusual that councils do take on multiple simultaneous projects, that there are councillors with portfolios that have areas of responsibility who move things forward at different rates? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff happening all the time at Town Hall. Why is this any different than what as business as usual?
I think because the Cobourg Taxpayers Association has come into existence, and we want to force, I guess force is probably, it's a strong word, but it's probably true. We want to force council to force staff to start working effectively, because they're not. The mayor is a wonderful ambassador for Cobourg. You know, I saw him at the Goose Bay tour. I saw him at the grand openings on Saturday. He's wonderful at that kind of thing. But as the CEO of the town, he should be holding the CAO accountable to making sure that proper procedures and things are in place before he starts something new, because the old things haven't been done well.
Okay. Now, some of the language that you're using is appropriate and proper and these kinds of things, effective. Those are subjective terms, and what you may feel is effective or ineffective may be in the minds of others very effective. Proper could mean many things to many people. What is inefficient about this? In terms, have you got data or something that you can show us in concrete ways
that are
ineffective?
Yes, I do. Actually, words are really important to me. So I think it's important to talk about the difference between effective and efficient. Effective is, are you doing the right thing? Efficient is, whatever it is you're doing, are you doing it well? And what I'm trying to get to, when I say effective, I specifically mean, are we doing the right things? Let me give an example. In 2011, I have a quote from Mayor Brockenier about the CCC.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor Brockenier said, quote, "The center is a gift to the community. Mayor Brockenier calls the opening of the center the most important day in his political career." Well, okay, it's the gift that keeps on giving, because here we are 6 years later, and it's currently costing, you know, it's costing us more than $1 million per year, the CCC. So it's the gift that just keeps on giving. That's one example.
Keeps on taking, perhaps. It keeps on taking.
What is the $1.2 million going towards?
Brian?
It's going to run the place. It's a deficit. It costs the town $1 million plus every year to run the CCC, to run the programs, right, to pay the staff, to pay the light bill, et cetera.
But has it ever been said that it was supposed to be a balanced budget? And usually, don't governments subsidize things? I'm just wondering, where has it ever been said that it was going to be a balanced budget?
Why are you promoting mediocrity?
I'm not promoting
mediocrity.
We're not arguing. I'm asking you a question.
Okay. Okay. The original idea, the original consultant's plan, mm-hmm, back in 2010 or somewhere, projected an annual operating cost of somewhere in the order of $700,000.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that was basically borne out. So in 2013, the cost of the town was $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, the cost has increased 45%. Cost of living has increased 8%.
Do we know why the costs have gone up 45%? Have they given us an outline as
nope.
to why?
Nope, nothing.
Do we know?
We've looked at some of the numbers, and there are some trends which Lydia has alluded to. Like, for instance, from 2013 to the 2017 budget, revenue has dropped $75,000,
okay,
and that's in spite of the Scotties and the, you know, all of the tournaments and
the
so
RBC,
on and so forth.
The RBC Cup, the Kodiaks,
yeah,
you know, all of the senior games, all of these things are touted as bringing, you know, all this wonderful, the CCC is bringing all this wonderful revenue into Coburg, and yet, you know, revenue is down $75,000.
At the CCC.
The CCC.
Right. But so do we have any, I mean, before we built the CCC, we were relying on the Y as our community center, right?
Okay.
It was the de facto community center. The town was paying the Y. How much was the town paying the Y?
No idea.
Any idea? Does anyone
nope.
know what they were
nope.
paying the Y?
No. Nope. Because
really, that would be your apples to apples comparison, right? I mean, granted, we didn't own the Y, quote unquote. They do lease the building from the town, is my understanding. I could be wrong on that, but I believe that's the case.
But again, David, it's not. I don't object to the CCC. I like the CCC. I use it myself.
Uh-huh.
What I object to is council, the mayor, whatever, making certain promises or claims and then not backing it up.
Right.
I know that, for instance, certain claims were made last year with respect to how successful the RBC was going to be, mm-hmm, the RBC Cup and the Kodiaks. I know John Hill from this station has been trying to get information,
yep,
from council as to, were those claims proven to be true or not? He's not been able to get the information.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they have it? Or why aren't they willing to share it?
Well, that's a good question. And that's a great time for us to take our first break. When we come back, more of our conversation with Lydia Smith and Brian Lambert. They are with the Coburg Taxpayers Association. We will get into the conversation about Venture 13 even deeper. But right now we're talking about fiscal accountability. And, you know, I think Lydia's point is very well noted. They speak of a wonderful response to these great events, and yet no one's able to provide us with the actual numbers. We'll be right back.
Remember the drive-ins, the malt shops, cruising the strip?
and the great music of the 1950s and early 60s, tune in to Northumberland 89.7 from 7 to 9 for the Doo-Wop Chop Shop and relive those fabulous memories with your hosts, Jody Losey and Jim Glover.
You can listen live worldwide on Northumberland897.ca. Check out our Facebook page at Facebook.com/Doo-Wop Chop Shop, Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
In 37.
Bingo!
Was that a bingo?
Come on out to Hometown Bingo and try your luck. Open 7 days a week. Bring a friend and have some fun socializing while having a chance to win some money. Hometown Bingo has 35 charitable sponsors, and last year over $370,000 went back into the local communities in Northumberland. We are located at 884 Division Street. Call 905-372-5426 or go to hometownbingo.ca. Our license number is 7884.
Why not come out and enjoy a fabulous movie-going experience at the Rainbow Cinemas?
Playing June 2nd through June 8th. Wonder Woman, rated PG, no free passes accepted. Captain Underpants, the first epic movie, rated G, no free passes accepted. And Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales, rated PG.
Rainbow Cinemas are in the Northumberland Mall, 1111 Elgin Street West in Cobourg. For showtimes, call 905-372-2444 or visit rainbowcinemas.ca.
Northumberland 89.7 is your source for local news and interviews with people in our community. Listen throughout the day and check out our complete programming schedule at northumberland897.ca.
And welcome back to the broadcast. My guests in studio, Lydia Smith, the CTA president, and Brian Lambert of the Cobourg Taxpayers Association. And well, one of the points I raised just a moment ago before we were coming back to air is a lot of the things that were happening before, a lot of the decisions that were being made, we talk about the marina and all that other stuff, the expansion, those were initiatives that were being pushed by staff. And what I've noticed in the last 18 months or so is staff's unwillingness to be the ones to say those are the decisions. Because staff, I think, in this town really has taken a lot of heat because councillors in the past, not necessarily this council per se, but in the past, in the last council definitely, were doing things like saying, oh, well, that was the staff's recommendation, we just went with it. And it gave the impression to taxpayers and to other citizens of this community that it was staff who was running the show. And I know that from speaking to people like Teresa Bain and other members of staff, that they're not doing that anymore. They don't want to be the ones who are blamed. They want council to accept responsibility for decisions that are being made. And I think I think in my humble opinion anyway, that we have seen maybe a shift in how decisions are being made at this town, in this town. Would you agree with that to some extent, Brian?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think that it is staff's job. They get paid quite well to do it.
To make recommendations.
To make recommendations, to research stuff, do the due diligence, make recommendations, provide alternatives.
Right.
And then council, as a board of directors.
The elected representatives.
Weighs the options and decides on policy and direction. Okay. The issues that we frequently see is that staff isn't doing that. They're not doing the due diligence adequately. They're not considering alternatives. They're coming forward with half-baked plans. So, and then council, for rightly or wrongly, the appearance is that council just rubber stamps it. You go to the meetings you very rarely hear any discussion about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to jump in here because I do think that we are starting to see a change in culture. I am hopeful because I am starting to hear words like a proper business case starting to come into the lexicon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the recent sidewalk in Abbott Boulevard was quite confrontational. And, you know, they decided to wait. They listened to the people and decided to wait. So I do think that there are some changes taking place.
I just wonder, though, when we don't know the numbers, we don't have the background. You guys have sought information. I know the press seeks information as well. But if we don't have that information, how can we assume that something is ineffective or inefficient? when we don't have the facts in front of us. Is it not a broad assumption, or can we not just wait before we make a judgment?
No, I think that is exactly the point. So, for instance, you know, with Venture 13, they're being asked to make a decision on a big ticket item that is going to affect this town. They've made claims like within the next 2 years, 72 jobs, and I think 20 businesses within mm-hmm. the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. Council has been asked to make that decision when they don't even know whether we're over or under budget 6 months into the year. So is it appropriate for them to be making that kind of a... It's like me going out and deciding to buy an expensive car when I don't even know if I can afford it because I don't know if I've made my mortgage payments.
If you go out to buy a car, just to use your example, don't you go shopping? Don't you go and look at different cars and weigh the value of this car and compare it to that car before you make a final decision?
Absolutely.
So isn't this... this is a proposal at this stage, is it not? That's my understanding that it's a proposal.
Yes, I know, but that to me, that's exactly the point. I would not be going out and spending time and energy looking for a new car and test driving them and doing all of that research if my roof was leaking in my house and needed to be repaired.
But isn't it also, I mean, aren't you concerned about the local economy and local economic development? Don't we have to have that track going as well as all the other tracks?
I'm absolutely concerned about the local economy. It's one of the reasons I volunteer at the Business Entrepreneurship Center Northumberland as mm-hmm. a volunteer coach. Mm-hmm. I was a small business owner myself. My mm-hmm. parents owned a shoe store for 25 years. I grew up above a store. I was at the openings mm-hmm. on Saturday, which I thought were absolutely terrific. Mm-hmm. I was just, again, to me, that is another example. I think Paige Montgomery is doing a wonderful job. I saw her little article in Northumberland today, and I thought it was going to be a fun event. It was great. You know, good news story, interesting. But there were so few members of the public. I would say there were about 10 people there. Like, out of a population of 19,400, isn't that sad? And why is that? What is it about the way that staff or council or whatever are promoting or not? How come people aren't hearing about this, and how come they're not going out?
Well, is it they're not hearing about it, or is it just not showing up?
I don't know.
Okay.
Small business incubators, there's been major studies done, several in the U.S., several in Canada. They say that two-thirds of the businesses that go into a business incubator graduate from that incubator, and 80% of those that graduate, they tend to locate within the local economy. Doesn't this seem like a good plan to stimulate our local economy with new and entrepreneurial innovative business?
Interesting observation. The question would be why...
It's not an observation. These are facts I'm sharing with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did Port Hope close its business incubator?
Well, there's lots of things.
No, but that's an example.
But why is that a good example?
Actually,
why is it a good example? I'd like to hear an answer to this.
Okay,
why is it a good example?
We'll go back to that. Lydia mentioned that
why is
they,
it a good example?
Hang on, that they had some metrics that so many jobs and so many new businesses. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nowhere in the presentation and stuff is the plan on how to get there.
But okay? I understand.
And this is
I understand
an issue.
I understand,
you know,
that
they
the
don't
Idea
know
Hub
how.
Was a green-based, and it was not the same. This has a manufacturing base to it and a high-tech base to it. I think it's like comparing apples and oranges, is it not?
I guess what I see from my experience, or what I wonder about, is I've been working with the Business Entrepreneurship Center Northumberland now for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. That is so. Of course, that's done at the county level. Mm-hmm. I think they do a terrific job. Mm-hmm. They have a really good process in place. They monitor the businesses. They are planning on giving them grants, which I have no issue with, because mm-hmm. the business owner has to come up with money themselves, mm-hmm. and they have to have a specific business plan, marketing mm-hmm. plan. From what I've seen, and actually even with other things, at the county level for the most part, because mm-hmm. we've gotten involved there too, mm-hmm. they seem to generally do a good job, and we think that we're in pretty good hands. The issue for me is not what you said, the factual information, because it's certainly true. Small business is the engine of the economy. Mm-hmm. The issue I have is our current town and council capable of, run, I hate to use the word effectively, but that's exactly what I mean. Are they able to run it effectively and efficiently to get the results that they're promising mm-hmm. and At the end of 2 years, are they going to be accountable to us for the money that they spent and for the activities that they spent doing over the last 2 years to say, yes, here's what we did? Because at the county level, they are accountable and they are transparent and they're doing it well and in a professional way.
Now, oftentimes, provincial and federal grants come along when they come along, for whatever reason. We've got a $400,000 potential grant from the federal government. The provincial government's about to announce a grant to go with it. Don't you make hay when the sun shines?
Oh, let me get that one. yes, that's true. However, what is also true is that $250,000 is going to come from Holdco, and yeah. $70,000 is going to come from Lakefront Utilities. Mm-hmm. And Mayor Brockenier will say, don't worry, we are not taking this money from taxes. We mm-hmm. are, however, taking it from the taxpayer via utility payments with mm-hmm. no control, no council due diligence, no accountability, no transparency. As chair, the mayor uses it as he sees fit. Do you think that's okay?
But council votes on this. So, I mean, isn't council giving the approval to use the Holdco funds as well? I mean, it has to go through council to get approval, no?
But council doesn't know anything about the workings of Holdco. They don't see any of those numbers either.
But if the money's being offered by Holdco, again, the sun's shining, hay's here, shouldn't we be harvesting?
Okay, but where's Holdco getting the money? Holdco gets the money from Louie. Where does Louis get the money? Out of your pocket. Okay? So it's flowing right through, and it's...
But we're talking one breath about economic stimulation, creating jobs for people locally, being innovative, drawing industry, which all seems positive. We have to make an investment. Why not make an investment? Why are you so opposed to using tax dollars to make an investment in a business?
What I'm opposed to, Rob, really is priorities. To come back to the analogy about building an addition, let's say somebody came along and said to me, Lydia, I'm going to give you some money to build an addition. Mm-hmm. You just have to put a little bit of money in it. You're going to be really happy. But meanwhile, you know, so now I'm getting all involved in this addition. But meanwhile, the foundation of my house is crumbling and the roof is leaking. Is that the appropriate priority at that time, regardless of whether somebody came along and gave me free money? And by the way, it's not free money because that's coming from us too as taxpayers.
Well, so far you haven't. You've talked about the roof leaking and the foundation being crumbly and what have you. But that's based on what? What are you basing that on? I mean, you're basing that on the lack of information from council, or you're basing that on the fact that they're not providing us the numbers? So how do you determine that the roof is leaking and the foundation is faulty? I mean, what are you basing that on?
Okay, so I gave you one example, which was the CCC. Uh-huh. I gave you another example that council has no tools, in my opinion, to make good decisions because they don't know what the budget numbers are. Another example is the municipal voting list, which is going to be pretty important coming up next fall. The uh-huh. municipal voting list is full of error. It lacks integrity, and it is full of errors. Certainly, is that not important to the democratic process, which is the lifeblood itself?
How do you know that there are errors in it? Where does that come from?
Some of it is just because of my own experience during the last election.
But you're one person.
Well, that's some of it. That's part of it. But I think my experience is valid because I have
Of course it is. I'm not doubting that for a moment. But how can you say that the overall voting list is erroneous because of your experience, one experience?
There's also a position paper out by, what's the name of that group, Brian?
The group at Lady and Guelph.
An industry group of municipal employees like treasurers and county clerks who joined because they wish to join. They did a position paper recently talking exactly about this issue, and I can get you the link or I can get you the information. I didn't bring it with me, but it's not a Coburg issue, but it is an Ontario municipal issue. All voters lists in Ontario lack integrity and are full of errors.
Okay.
I'm still having a hard time understanding the leaky roof, crumbling foundation point. I mean, granted, okay. I understand where you were coming from with the CCC being that it's hugely expensive to operate the CCC. But again, I don't know any public programming, whether it's transit or a community center, that operates either at break even or at a profit. I don't. So I don't think those are, in my humble opinion anyway, valid examples of the council dropping the ball. Issues. I think what we are seeing is the council is being a lot more responsive. Maybe it's just my opinion, being more responsive. Maybe not the mayor, but the councilors themselves, Mr. Darling, the deputy mayor, and Deb McCarthy, being very responsive to the questions, to the desires, to the needs of the majority of residents in the community. Maybe not to your.
No,
numbers.
I agree. I agree with
but
you, Dave.
But I think that what we are seeing, we are, as you said, there has been a cultural shift in how things are done. We aren't being run the same way we were when Brockenier made that speech back in 2011 about how it's the greatest thing in his political career. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, even he himself will admit, and he has admitted it on this show actually, that he doesn't have necessarily the free wheel that perhaps he would like to have. I think what we are seeing is thanks not just to associations like yours, but to other active members of the community saying, wait a second, no, we're not doing it this way. And council is actually being more responsive in terms of asking the questions. The where I see them maybe dropping the ball, like you, is they don't have actual, there doesn't seem to be an actuarium done on a quarterly basis. We don't know where we are from the beginning of the year to the end of the first quarter, so on. Here we are now at the halfway point of the third quarter, and or the second quarter rather, and we still are wondering. So, I mean, I get where you're coming
and,
from.
And
I
I'm still sorry, don't, Dave. I still I'm gonna don't see sorry. I'm gonna, I'm gonna though. I'm gonna jump in there because what I want to say, what you said there is just really key, and to me, that's at the heart of it. Why do we not have a process and a procedure in place? Why is it? Mm-hmm. Why isn't anybody asking these questions? Why is it that we're 6 months into the year almost, mm-hmm. and councillors do not know what the town has spent to date? Whether
or
we're on
earned
or, why them. Don't they know? That is a poor process, and poor process makes for poor results.
Mm-hmm.
Even at a smaller level, and the Abbott Boulevard thing was a really, really good example. Citizens group did not agree with what was about to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the committee of the whole and got shot down. And fortunately, they had some gumption and decided, you know, no was not the right answer. And they pursued it, did research, followed up, had at it again. And the critical turning point, as Deb McCarthy pointed out, was that staff did not have a process and procedure for prioritizing what work should be done.
Right.
It was just like throw the names up mm-hmm. in the air and see what happens.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point to take our break on, because I think you and I actually asked the mayor about exactly that point when we had him in here the last time. We will be right back with more of our conversation with Lydia Smith and Brian Lambert. You are listening to Consider This.
Hi, my name's Paul Burnham. I'm a lifelong farmer on a century farm in Northumberland County.
And I'm Tricia Malore, and I'm passionate about agriculture.
We're here to introduce a new radio program called From the Field.
It's all about agriculture in Northumberland County and around the world.
We plan to bring in experts in all aspects of farming, like dairy, beef, poultry, vegetables, fruits, and all kinds of other neat stuff.
And we're going to cover hot topics like quota, free trade, organics, bees, and GMOs.
We invite you to listen in on Tuesdays at 12:30.
On Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Deep within the Northumberland Forest, there is a secret created by the spring-fed wells of Mill Valley and bottled by Oak Ridge Springs. Mill Valley is sodium-free and rich in naturally occurring electrolytes and perfectly balanced pH. Visit Oak Ridge Springs at 6191 County Road 45 for water in various sizes. They also carry cases and ice. You can reach them at 289-251-5579. Water, the way nature intended.
Northumberland 89.7 is proud to serve our community. We are winners of the Business Achievement Award in Communications and Technology. Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back to the broadcast. My guests in studio are representatives of the Coburg Taxpayers Association. The association president, Lydia Smith, and Brian Lambert, one of the directors, is here. Rob Washburn as well, asking you, listeners, to consider this.
I want to just go back to the Venture 13 and the business incubator for a second. When you look at the map of incubators across Ontario, once you hit Durham region, there's only three incubators from along the lakeshore, from Oshawa to the Quebec border. The next one would be in Ottawa. The three are one in Kingston. There was the one in Port Hope, which is now hoping to reopen as in Coburg. And then there's one in Halliburton. And it's interesting because the one in Halliburton, they, in their first year, Halliburton, by the way, has a population of 17,026, about the same size as Coburg, just a little less. They spent $50,000 in their first year. They had four businesses that they've been able to incubate over that time period. Seems to me like there's a real need for incubation, it's been identified, having an incubator has been identified as being very, very important to developing local economies and local businesses. The Center for Digital Entrepreneurship and Economic Development has said that incubators are one of the most important ways that R&D gets done in Canada. Why doesn't it make sense then to, if this is the case, jump at this opportunity, even though, I mean, as you say, maybe you want to get back to basics, but because the moment is ripe and somebody else will get this money and they'll take it.
You know, Rob, as I as I'm listening to you, this is coming back to me. I think you wrote some kind of an article about this some time ago, right? Am mm-hmm. I right? Because yeah. it sounds familiar to me. Mm-hmm. I'm a small business person at heart. Mm-hmm. I agree that small business is the heart of the economy. Mm-hmm. I agree that they need all the help that they can get. Mm-hmm. I think that the county level is doing an excellent job. I see this as not only somewhat as a duplication of services, which concerns me, but again, more importantly, what concerns me, everything that you've said is true. The mm-hmm. problem is everything hinges on whether the town of Coburg can hold up their part and do this well. And based on the track record that I've seen, that is where I have the lack of confidence. That is my issue. I do not have confidence that the town of Coburg can do this well, but based on their track record.
Do you have confidence in your organization? You do a pretty good job of being a watchdog, and we've just talked earlier about several projects that got backburnered because of efforts that you and others have made in the community. Don't you think we'll be good you and those people will be good watchdogs?
Yeah, but the barn door is already open. They've spent the money, they've done all of those things, and they have no after the 2 years, what happens, Lydia raised the question, what happens if the project goes south? Okay, how are they going to get there? The project is contingent on them getting two RED grants. Okay, for $330,000 or something mm-hmm. in that order. What happens if they don't get those grants? They don't have a plan B. It's just...
But it's only a proposal at this time. It's not a final thing. They're not going to vote on it. It says all the coverage is said. The reports say it's a proposal.
They voted on it Monday night.
On the proposal, to go forward with the proposal. Is that not correct?
It's a done deal.
My understanding is, yes, they're still voting on it and discussing it, but it looks to me as if they're planning on breaking ground this coming December already. Anyway, I'm sitting here shaking my head. The listeners can't see me, but I'm shaking my head.
I can vouch for you. She is shaking her head, listener.
I'm going to play devil's advocate to Rob here because this is, the CTA has their... position regarding Venture 13.
Our official position, yes.
Okay, so your official position, though, is no.
No, it's defer.
What is it?
No, our official position is that we are neither for nor against.
Okay.
What we would like to see is for it to be put on hold until more thought goes into it, and also some of these other issues that have been outstanding for years are fixed. But Brian has his own opinion, and this is not the opinion of the CTA. Go, Brian.
As we mentioned, there's a different way to look at it, and that way is that it's really two projects. It's right. A northern building renovation and rental project.
Right.
Northern's going to take their building 13, mm-hmm. and they're going to refurbish it.
Yeah.
They're going to rent the top floor out to the cops.
Right.
And that, for the most part, is paid for by the cops.
And the CFDC is renting a portion of it as well.
And more to come. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the second part of it, or continuing with the renovation project, the CFDC is going to come along, and they're going to take a piece of the main floor, and they bring with them the $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as Rob's point is, and I grant it, some people may not agree, it's money on the table. If you don't take it, someone else will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I don't really have a problem with that. I know mm-hmm. quite a number of people do. Nonetheless, so that money's going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
We still haven't got anything that really involves the town. It's all northern. Okay? Louis is coming in, like for utilities, and they're going to spend $70,000 or so with a third party who's investing $500,000 to build a solar panel array on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That has nothing to do with the town either, really. It's all Northam.
Yeah.
Okay? And I know people will say, well, Northam is the town, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Northam is a business unit of the
town.
Sure,
but as you folks so eloquently pointed out earlier,
yeah.
The residents of Cobourg have no idea what is going on with that. And
yeah.
we have no idea what's going on with Holdco other than we own yeah. it. We have no idea what's going on with Louis other than we own it. So we've got these wonderful assets
yeah.
that are apparently driving revenue, but nobody knows how much revenue. No one's willing to make that information public.
Yep.
It's if I can, and because we're going to take a quick break here, if I can, just before the break, it sounds to me like what you guys are saying is you're neither for nor against it. You're just asking to hold. Part of the problem, I think, for this Venture 13 is that it doesn't seem to me, and maybe I'm wrong, and you can correct me after the break, it doesn't seem to me like there was ever any public consultation as to whether or not the town should be looking into doing something like Venture 13.
No.
It sounds to me like, hey, we've got this idea called Venture 13. You know what? That sounds like something I can get behind. Let's do it. And again, as far as the public is concerned, we just woke up one day and there was a headline. We'll be right back after the break.
Hi, I'm Don Murdoch. I'm very pleased to be hosting Country Music Through the Years. The show comes to you Monday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. right here at Northumberland 89.7. During this fun-filled 2 hours, we'll be featuring songs from your favorite classics like Merle Haggard and George Jones on to today's artists such as Luke Bryant and Blake Shelton. Looking forward to interacting with you each Monday night from 7 to 9 p.m. on Country Music Through the Years right here at Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
When it comes to computers and the internet today, it's hard to know who and what to trust. When something goes wrong, you could call your daughter, your brother-in-law, that kid who mows the lawn, or you could call Computer Solutions, your neighborhood computer professional. Computer Solutions, located at 208 King Street East in Colburn, is open 6 days a week. They have ample parking and convenient hours, plus you can arrange to have your system picked up or dropped off right from your door. Call Computer Solutions today at 905-355-3622 or stop by their store in Colburn at 208 King Street East. Computer Solutions, your neighborhood computer professionals.
In your face. All over the place. We're online 24/7.
Northumberland89.7.ca.
And welcome back to the broadcast. My guests in the studio are representatives of the Cobourg Taxpayers Association, Lydia Smith, the president of the association, and Brian Lambert. And joining us in the studio asking you to consider this, Rob Washburn.
I was interested to find out that this building that they're going to renovate is currently costing $70,000 because it's empty, and once they do this project, it will actually generate $90,000 in revenue. That seems like something that the CTA would get behind.
That's a good project for Northam. You know, they get $90,000.
Now, whose behalf are you speaking? Yourself now, or are you speaking for CTA?
Doesn't matter. It's a good project in terms of the economics of Northam, mm-hmm. okay, in that building.
Mm-hmm.
They get $90,000 in rent. It pays for the $70,000 of operating costs and so on, mm-hmm. and leaves a little bit of change in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So that, as far as I'm concerned, my personal thing is a good thing. Okay, I don't have a problem with that one.
If Paul Pagnuolo was here, he'd basically be saying that the town has no business owning an industrial park.
Well, that's another issue as to whether the town should be competing with local business. Period. But
yeah, well, which is a misnomer because local business isn't competing to do this. That's a crock.
So
the fact that the reason the town is in this business is because the private sector doesn't want to touch it. So
Paul,
I think for Paul Pagnuolo, I would say exactly the same thing. You know, it's nice to say, oh, the town shouldn't be in that business, but the long and short of it is somebody has to.
So the other thing too is that we have the agricultural venture down in Colborne,
yes,
which I'm sure when it was conceptual and on a page, you could make many of the same arguments that you're making to us today. And yet, when we look at what it's done and how it's helped so many small farmers. It's moved forward. The county will put it out there as a huge success in stimulating entrepreneurship and innovation within the agriculture sector within the area. And it's attracting attention from not only Ontario, but across Canada and North America. Why shouldn't we just put our faith, just like we did for the Agriculture Venture Center?
I agree with all the things that you've said, Rob. Mm-hmm. I think the difference for me is mm-hmm. that the Agricultural Center is a county initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at the way the county manages itself, and we have, we think that we're in pretty good hands. And that's praise indeed from a Taxpayers Association.
Well, so then that facility is also privately owned, too, not owned by the county.
No, it's run by the county.
They lease it.
They lease it, yeah. But my point is are you saying, out of your statement now, would you like to see this go up to become a county project? Would that be a salve for your concerns? And then would
I'm not speaking for the Cobourg Taxpayers Association when I answer that question.
Okay.
Speaking for myself personally,
mm-hmm.
and as someone who's involved with the Business Entrepreneurship Center, and from what I've seen about the county, if the county was handling it, I would feel very comfortable.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I think what we've seen here is that the Cobourg Taxpayers Association isn't necessarily against this venture. I think you're pretty clear on it. You do support it to a certain extent. But I think one of the concerns is the one I raised just before the break, which was we just woke up one day and there was this headline.
So
there was a private in March discussion, but other than that.
I want to ask the group about that. How do you feel about the fact that in the notes it says that this was passed in a closed-door meeting?
I'm not in favor of closed-door meetings, period, unless it involves, specifics about, like, as the Municipal Act says, about legal actions
mm-hmm.
or about, personnel issues and so
should
on.
Should there be a public consultation then about this proposal?
I mean, I don't think public consultation never hurts. I want to balance that, though, because I'm not really in favor of paralysis through analysis either. I mean, you know, you can mm-hmm. eventually you have to act. You can't just
yes.
keep talking about things right. and talking about things and talking about things. But I think it's important, if you're going to act, to know why am I doing what I'm doing and, you know, what am I promising? And at the end, doing an analysis to see whether what you promised is what came about.
Did you make a presentation to council with your press release, or are you planning to go before council with this?
No.
Okay.
All righty. Well, I want to thank my guests. I want to thank Lydia Smith, and I want to thank the CTA, and of course, also Brian Lambert, whose name I completely forgot. I'm not good with names, listeners. Anyway, thanks for tuning into the Drive Time. Thanks to Rob Washburn, and always. And folks, you can stay on top of this as well. You can go to the CTA website. You can go to Cobourg Taxpayers Association and find out more. Maybe you want to become a member. Maybe you do. I would recommend getting involved. That's one
step. The
price
is right. It's free.
There you go. It's free. Doesn't cost anything. Here is Jim Croce as we take you out to the top of the hour. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more. Consider this.